Ever wish you could, like, predict the future, even just a little? Well, today, we're taking a deep dive into a tool that can actually help you do that: linear regression. And don't worry, you don't need to be some kind of math whiz to follow along.
Linear regression. It might sound a little intimidating, I guess, but honestly, it's the driving force behind a lot of those everyday predictions we kind of rely on without even realizing it.
Okay, so, like, what, give me an example. What kind of predictions are we talking about here?
Think about things like housing prices or even those weather forecasts you see on the news.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But how does it actually work? Like, can you break it down for us? Imagine we're trying to figure out how much that, cute little house down the street will sell for. Or say you're curious about, like, how well you'll do on a big exam based on how many hours you cram. Linear regression can actually help with that.
Exactly. At its core, linear regression is all about understanding the relationship between two things. It helps us find that connection, and we do that by essentially drawing a straight line through a bunch of data points. Imagine plotting those points on a graph.
So if we put, say, ice cream sales on one axis and the temperature outside on the other, we could see if there's a connection there. Like, if it's hotter, do people buy more ice cream?
Precisely. Let's say, just as an example, we have data on ice cream sales versus temperature for, every single day last summer. Now, if we plot those points and then find what we call the best fit line through all of them, well, now we can start to predict how ice cream sales might look on a super hot day this summer, even if we haven't actually hit that temperature yet.
Oh, that's cool. So if the line slopes upwards, meaning more ice cream is sold when it's hotter outside, we can assume a heat wave equals big bucks for ice cream shops. Gotcha. But our source material, it gets a bit, more technical than that. It even mentions this equation, XTRW plus B equals YTR. Should we, like, break out the notebooks and start memorizing this thing?
You definitely don't need to memorize it, no. But getting a grasp of what it represents, that's actually key. See, that equation, it's essentially how we find that perfect line we've been talking about. It's like, imagine you're trying to draw a straight line through a whole scatter of dots on your graph.
Yeah, okay, I can picture that.
So the W and the B in the equation, those are the parts that actually help us adjust the tilt and position of that line to get it as close as we can to all those data points.
Ah, okay, so it's like you're carefully adjusting a ruler on a graph, trying to find that one position that just, like, best fits the overall trend of all those dots.
Exactly. That's a great way to visualize it. The goal is to minimize the distance between each little data point and the line itself. The smaller those distances are, the more accurate our predictions will be.
That makes sense. But hold on, what about when we're not trying to, like, predict an actual number, but more like a category? Like, will this email I just got end up in my inbox? Or is it going straight to the spam folder? That feels like a whole different kind of prediction, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right. Predicting categories is definitely different. And that, my friend, is where something called one-hot encoding comes into play. You see, linear regression, it really loves numbers. That's kind of its thing. So one-hot encoding, think of it as a clever little trick we use to represent those categories, like spam or not spam, as numbers that our model can actually work with.
Okay, now I'm really curious. How on earth do you turn a word like spam into a number?
All right, so picture this. You have a list of numbers, right? And each number represents a different category. Let's say it's a 4, 2, 3, 1, 0, 4. With one-hot encoding, each of these numbers gets transformed into a series of zeros and a single one in a very specific position.
So instead of just, like, the number 4 on its own, we get a whole, like, secret code of zeros and ones, kind of like a barcode for each category.
Exactly. Each category gets its own unique barcode, which is something that linear regression can actually understand and work with.
That's so clever. But I gotta ask, why go through all that trouble? I mean, what does this barcode system, what does it actually do for our predictions in the end? So it's like we're giving our linear regression model, like, a secret language it can understand so it can actually find patterns and make predictions, even for stuff that doesn't seem numerical at first glance, like you said, scam detection. That's really neat.
It is. It's actually a very elegant solution when you think about it. And it
Yeah.
really highlights just how versatile linear regression can actually be.
Okay.
But it gets even more interesting, I think, when we start talking about something called feature engineering.
Okay, feature engineering.
Okay.
All right, now we're talking. Now we're getting into the really cool stuff, I feel like. What's the gist? What are we talking about here?
So remember how we talked about linear regression essentially drawing a straight line through all our data points.
Yeah.
Well, the real magic, I think, the real magic happens when we start getting a little creative with the information that we feed into our model. Feature engineering is all about that creativity. It's about, you know, taking your existing features and combining them in interesting ways to create entirely new ones that might reveal hidden patterns that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Well, it's like instead of just like using the data as is,
yeah,
we're like mixing and matching different aspects of it to create something totally new that gives us this like fresh perspective on what's going on.
Precisely. It's like, you know, when you're making a cake, you have all your ingredients, right? You have your flour, your sugar, your eggs. So imagine in our case, those basic features are things like the square footage of a house, the number of bedrooms, you know, pretty standard stuff. That's like our basic cake batter.
Yeah. But a plain cake, I mean, it's fine, but it can be kind of boring.
Right.
We got to spice things up a little bit.
Exactly. With feature engineering, we can take those basic ingredients and we can create new features that might be even more predictive than the original ones we started with. For example, let's say we take that square footage and we combine it with the age of the house. Now we can create a new feature that represents the overall condition.
Oh, okay. You see?
For like a newer, smaller house, it might still be in better condition overall than like an older, larger one.
Right, exactly. And by feeding this new condition feature into our model, now we might get even more accurate predictions than if we just relied on the square footage and the age separately.
So feature engineering, it's like finding those like secret ingredient combinations that really make the whole dish pop, right? It really makes our linear regression model sing.
Yeah.
But how do we even know which features to combine? Like, this feels like it could get really complicated really quickly.
It definitely can. It often involves, a bit of intuition.
And a good amount of experimentation. A deep understanding of the data itself and the problem you're actually trying to solve is really key here.
So you need to be, like, part baker, part data detective, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Carefully selecting your ingredients, experimenting a little bit until you find the perfect recipe for your predictive model.
I like that.
That's really cool. And I'm guessing our source material provided some good examples of this in action. I mean, like how it actually works in the real world. It really does sound like our source material like dug deep, you know, got into the weeds a bit with these practical examples of how to actually do this feature engineering stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They highlighted a really cool example from finance. Let's say you're trying to predict, you know, how a stock might perform. You wouldn't just look at the stock's price history by itself. Like, you know, just looking at a chart wouldn't really give you the full picture.
Right.
Instead, what you could do is combine the historical price data with something like news sentiment analysis, which is basically like trying to gauge the overall, you know, positivity or negativity of news articles about that particular company.
Oh, that's interesting. So instead of just like crunching numbers on a spreadsheet, we're also factoring in like public perception, right?
Yeah.
How people feel about the company.
Exactly. By combining those two things, the hard numbers, you know, the stock price history, and then that news sentiment, that more like qualitative data, now you've got this much more nuanced, much more insightful feature for potentially predicting future stock movements. It's kind of like adding that secret ingredient that just elevates the whole dish. You know what I mean?
Totally, totally. That's a fantastic example. It really, really shows how powerful this whole feature engineering concepts can be. It's like we're taking linear regression, this thing that seems, you know, pretty straightforward at first, and we're giving it this like superpower.
Yeah.
Just by like, you know, by feeding it this smarter, more thought out information.
And that's what makes this whole area so exciting. You know, linear regression, it's a relatively simple tool on its own, but when you pair it with things like one-hot encoding, when you get creative with feature engineering, it becomes incredibly powerful. You can suddenly uncover these hidden relationships that you never would have seen before, and you can start making some really accurate predictions about, honestly, all sorts of things.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny, because it seemed really math-heavy at the beginning. Remember that whole equation?
Right, right.
But now, it's really about, like, understanding the story behind the data.
Yeah.
And then finding those creative ways to tell that story even better.
It's not just about the numbers themselves, but it's about what those numbers actually represent.
Exactly.
And how those numbers connect to, you know, the bigger picture.
I like that. Well, I feel like we've definitely unearthed some hidden treasures today, you know, in our little deep dive into linear regression. We've gone from drawing lines on graphs to crafting the perfect like data recipe for powerful predictions.
That's a good way to put it. You know, I think what we've really highlighted here is how a tool that might seem really basic, at least on the surface, can actually be incredibly versatile, especially when you start combining it with, you know, some clever techniques, a little bit of creative thinking.
It just goes to show you, sometimes those most powerful tools are the ones that seem deceptively simple at first.
Yeah, definitely.
It's all about understanding how to actually use them effectively.
And how to apply them to those, you know, those real world problems that we're all facing.
Which is where, you know, where the real magic happens.
Mapping.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up here, if there's one thing I want our listeners to take away from all of this, it's this. Don't underestimate the power of a good linear regression model, all right? With a little ingenuity, the right ingredients, it can unlock so much. It can really unlock a whole world of insights, you know?
For sure. It's a foundational tool. You master this, and it opens the door to so much more, a much deeper understanding of data and all the potential that it holds.
Absolutely. So to all our listeners out there, next time you encounter a problem that just seems way too complicated, or maybe there's a prediction you need to make and it just seems impossible, remember the power of this thing called linear regression. You might just be surprised at what you can achieve with this seemingly simple yet incredibly powerful tool. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and most importantly, keep asking questions.